Hi. Welcome to Be the Evidence podcast with Susan Grace and Aubrey Mast. We are so grateful that you are here, that you're curious, that you're engaging, that you are questioning, and that you are showing up for conversations around consciousness and liberation and making changes that may not fit inside the box that we once lived. It truly makes that work easier for all of us with each and every one of us doing it and showing up for it. So thank you deeply. Susan and I feel very called to furthering these conversations and furthering the evolution of consciousness. So we have created a community-based forum that's called BeTheEvidence.live. You can find it at www.BeTheEvidence.live. And in this forum, it is jam-packed with all of the tools and the support that Susan and I personally use to get us through navigating these changes in energies. So when you become a member, you get access to Susan texting astrological changes as they happen and giving us handlebars to hold on to so we can navigate those changes in energies. There's also daily astrology readings that are done for the collective consciousness that are tapped in to what the energies are exposing that day. There's also presence practices that are very similar to the things that you hear coming up in the podcast, with actual rituals to use. And there are recipes that help support the changes, whether it be detoxifying or cleansing or grounding into your body, to help your body adjust to the astrological changes as well. There are guided meditations there for you to plug into and listen to whenever you want. They help ground you into this experience of being a human being with amongst all of these changes. There are also daily tarot cards pulled to help give another way of navigating the changes. Susan and I also host weekly live calls for all the members. We recently just did a 2019 overview for all of our members, and we covered the eclipses and the retrogrades and the nodes. And that is really a way that we connect with all of the members and give them a platform and give ourselves a platform for understanding what are the energies that are being exposed and how do we navigate them? How do we surf these waves? If this is something that interests you, we would love to see you. You're welcome to join us at any point in time. We're really grateful that you're showing up in any and every way that you do. Thank you. Enjoy the podcast. Man, I think lots of people's bodies are recalibrating right now. Like, everyone around me is sick and needing major recalibration.
Right. So personally,
yeah,
I think I don't have a cold. I think I probably had the flu.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not just me. Mm-mm. I looked it up. Right. If the internet says it, it's fine. on the internet, I'm seeing that a lot of people are being taken down by things that are, I think, probably forcing them to get back into their body.
Mm-hmm.
And it's happening also during a time in the U.S. when there's a cold snap that is catching people off guard.
Mm-hmm.
I find that interesting, to be caught off guard by cold.
Mm.
What do you think?
You want to say more about being caught off guard by cold?
Mm.
I think it's interesting. I'm having everybody around me being sick right now. And then I think it's really fascinating to me that, like, it's also in the midst of, like, energy that feels like really, like, ungrounded. That there's like quick shifting footing. And it's like, oh, there's a cold snap coming in. You have to get really warm. And it's like happening overnight, right? Like, I mean, for at least where I live. in the mountains. Like it happened within a several hour period that we dropped 20 degrees. So very, very quickly. And I think it's really interesting because it, like, you're forced into pivoting, you're forced into recalibrating, you're forced into shape shifting as quick as possible.
I've found that I really enjoy this experience of being sick. That sounds fucked up, but seriously, it's making me go like, okay, tell me more about ginger. Mm-hmm. Tell me more about raw garlic. Mm-hmm. Tell me more about kale. Tell me more about the difference between bone broth and broth.
Right.
Tell me more about that. It's like a forcing of, what do you need, honey? Yeah. And why? And why?
You're forced into presence. It's like I have posted this the other day because, you know, a lot of times people come to me for help healing their body when they get into a place where they don't feel very good in their body anymore. And I was talking about this very thing. And like, it's interesting that when you get in that place, it's all of a sudden, well, what do elderberries do? Why would I want to make a syrup? How do you even make a syrup out of them? Like,
right. I've asked you, I'm like, I feel like I need that, but I don't know why.
Right. So fascinating, because really what we're talking about is reducing inflammation, that you're saying that your body is too inflamed, or the environment you're in is inflamed. And so it's causing you to recalibrate. It's when we get sick, it's our body saying, hold up, something is not at balance. We have to recalibrate. We have to shapeshift right here. And so how do you reduce that?
You have to talk. You don't have to, but I would request that you talk more about, are you sure it's about inflammation? Because sometimes viruses do attack us.
No, I mean inflammation not in the sense of inflammatory markers. I mean inflammation as a broad-based term, that viruses happen, bacteria happens. We are exposed to mold and funguses. Like, it causes an inflammatory reaction, which is what an illness usually is. It is the reaction that something is not at balance. It's not at homeostasis. So whether it's coming from a cold or from a flu, the way that I am using that word is more of like a catch-all, that your body is reacting to something.
The reaction to an invasive thing that's happening.
Yes. It's fighting something off.
Oh, that's very important, I think, to recognize, mm-hmm. right? Like whenever you have the flu and everything inflames, mm-hmm. and your skin hurts. Okay. If when your skin hurts, you have a problem. It's because you're reacting to obviously a virus.
Yeah.
But are you overreacting?
Nah. I mean, your body can, from like a physiological standpoint, your body can get stuck overreacting. This is where autoimmune diseases start to come from. But I think, you know, for me, like that word inflammation, like you're dealing with a physical reaction to fighting off a virus right now, the flu, right? Like many people are dealing with the same thing. But I also think like we're in tricky waters because it's not even just a physical inflammation. Like I also believe that we fight this off emotionally and mentally and spiritually. And a lot of like the energies that we're in, like when we're really emotional, where we're having really like intense aching and pain and loss and trauma that we have gone through, like that is also under my definition of the word, an inflammatory reaction wanting us to come into balance in some manner, wanting us
I think that's a really important point to make. Mm-hmm. When you have experienced trauma, you have a very inflamed reaction about that.
Right.
And that is not something to be ashamed of.
No.
When you become very inflamed around trauma, it's because you're trying to protect yourself. Mm-hmm. The people who stay with you through that inflammation, Those are your friends. Mm-hmm. You're probably a hot mess when you're that inflamed around emotional trauma. But they recognize that you're inflamed because you're experiencing something that is taking a blow at you.
Right.
Same thing with something like the flu, mm-hmm. right? Like the people who are still talking to me, even though I have a lot of mucus going on or whatever, like they're like, you have the flu, you're fine. I think it would probably be lovely if we recognize an inflamed reaction to things like trauma, not unlike the flu.
Right. Well, there would be a lot more permission to experiencing them. Like I was, all I'm doing is reading and writing papers, if I'm really honest, with my PhD work. Like that's all I'm doing is consuming mass amounts of information constantly.
That's not all you're doing. We do a lot of work together too.
We do a ton of work together. But last night before I jumped on for all of our Be the Evidence that Live members to do that card reading for them, I was reading about how we experience grief, right? And how there's this perception that if you lose somebody or if you go through a process of grieving, whether it be like you lost your partner or your animal or you lost a piece of yourself, that we have this perception that you need to get over it pretty quickly, right? But if you're equally sick with pneumonia, there's a little bit more of like this reaction of, oh, honey, child, you need to take care of yourself. Go slow. Rest. Get your immune system back on track. Like, take your time. Make sure you're really nurturing yourself. And how different it would be if we allotted that same energy to all things, whether they would be a mental grief, like a mental loss, a mental trauma, or a heart-based trauma, right? Or a spiritual. I'm recalibrating from who I was previously, and my whole personality and what I believe is shape-shifting and shifting in front of me. And that feels like I'm in grief. Like I'm losing a piece of myself.
I'm hurting so badly. I can't even touch my skin.
Right.
What if you were allowed to say that about emotional trauma, like you're allowed to say it about the flu?
Right.
I'm hurting so badly. I can't even touch my skin. When I say that about the flu, people are like, oh, turmeric, mm-hmm. garlic,
yeah.
ginger, let's get you some soup. Let's get your cats around you. Mm-hmm. Let's relieve you from all duties.
Yep.
Let's take care of you in the best way we can because you're going to have to muscle through this.
Yep.
You're going to have to ride this out. And so while you ride this out, we're going to support you the best way we can.
Right.
That's what you would say to someone when they have the flu. What do you say to someone who had their fucking head bashed in? Shouldn't we say the same?
Yeah.
Shouldn't we say, hey, I don't know anything about what you've been through, but I'm going to take care of things around you. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make sure that you feel supported while you do what you need to do to get to the other side of this. Because I believe in you. Same answer.
There would be a lot more permission in that. Because I think, you know, like, what comes up for me is that when people... when you're sick or when you're fighting something off or when you are recalibrating or you're coming back from trauma or you're just trying to reintegrate into your body and into your mind and into your heart space after.
If you quit your job, if you're having a problem with water, if you didn't make your electric bill, okay, it doesn't have to be the extremes to deserve consideration.
No, no. And I think there's also like, there's this cusp right? Like I keep seeing pictures of cups. Like there's this cusp there that where you can equally be sick and be like, this is what's happening right now. Right now, I don't feel well in my body. Or right now, I am really scared. Right now, this is what's
happening. Right now, there's a boot on my car. Right now, someone broke up with me. Right now, I don't like where I live. Right now, I don't want to eat bread anymore.
Right.
All of it matters. All of it.
And to acknowledge it in the present while also holding that space. Like this is the cusp, right? Of acknowledging what's happening in the present and also holding the space for, well, I hope soon I feel better in my body. I hope soon that I can get that boot off of my car. I hope soon that I find another job that pays me better than what I've been currently making. Like that you can stand in between both of those places without discounting either side of it.
I feel like we should go beyond hope.
Right.
I know I sound like a dick right now. But man, hope, sometimes hope is not enough.
No,
you have to fucking know there is the other side. The other side actually exists. You're not just hoping.
Right.
That the other side actually lands. Sometimes you have to know that the other side will actually land for you to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really important.
So how do you know?
Am I being harsh?
No, I think the question for me that comes up is, what do you point to then that helps you know that all of the other side exists, even when you don't see it, when you're not experiencing it? How do you know that then?
Time.
Mm-hmm.
That's what shows you. Time.
Mm-hmm.
That you actually push through and you make it to the other side and you be the evidence of it. Time. I'm convinced of it. I'm convinced that the only way that you know for sure is you just fucking do it and prove it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm absolutely convinced of, seriously, be the evidence. Be the evidence of it. I'm convinced. Aren't you?
I agree completely. I think it is time. I think if I look at, and I also think there is something to be said about that the notion of like attracts like, of filling your plate, your cup, your peripheral vision, your understanding, your mind up with people that have done what you are hoping to aspire to, right? That I can speak for myself that how I got to the state of health that I'm at, or how I got to my understanding in my career, what I've gone through is because of time. It's because of taking step after step after step after step and not coming off of that trajectory. So there's like this combination where it's not just consistently taking steps. It's also making sure that you're giving yourself examples, I think, of other people that have walked before you that have achieved what you're going for or have some glimpse of it. So if you're like, oh, I really want to own a business. Well, can you Google people that have and listen, hear their stories and read their stories about how they have gone into owning a business so that you have an example of that? It's not going to be your story because only you get to write your story, but you'll have an example to help motivate you. The crumbles will be in front of you on the trail.
I think that's really important when we're talking about creating new worlds in a time that we don't have the concrete examples of exactly what we want to do, right? So many, many, many people are venturing out in ways that you don't have examples of. But you can ask people what they know so far. You cannot reinvent the wheel. You can say, hey, what did you figure out?
Right.
What have you figured out so far? So I can go further. And having said that, as we age through time, I think it's really important to be willing to have people stand on our shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really important to be like, listen, this is everything I figured out and you are welcome to it. And I hope that you're better than me.
Mm-hmm.
I fucking hope you're better than me. I've always lived by that. I've lived by that my entire life of I've always been training my replacement. Always. I've done that since I was a teenager. Always training my replacement because we should always be better first. Absolutely, stand on my shoulders. Go for it. But it also forces me to aim higher for myself.
Right.
Great. Replace me. It forces me to do something new.
Right.
Someone should always be replacing me. Always. Pushes me forward. And they get to stand on my shoulders as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think, man, I don't even know if it's right, but it feels right.
There's that statement. I'm going to butcher it because I can't recall it correctly, but what keeps playing in my head is to stand on the shoulders of the giants that came before us. And I know that that's not the quote, but there's a quote about
being willing to be the fucking giant who right. has the shoulders.
Right.
Absolutely. People should be standing on you. Absolutely. It's yeah. It's probably because I'm sick. It's probably because I have the flu, but I feel very emotional about this. Everyone should stand on my shoulders. Every step I take should be a new mark on how someone else is going to stand on my shoulders. And everyone who is trying to build a legacy for themselves should incorporate that for themselves in their plan. You should always be planning on someone standing on your shoulders. Always.
I agree with you. And I think that's the theme that you're really talking about is how do you harness that, right? Like you're talking about how do other people harness the knowledge that you've gained and used it to propel themselves into even more possibility than what you have currently achieved or where you're currently aimed to. It's to consistently cultivate, it feels like a rubber band energy, like being constantly snapped forward, right? That you're harnessing this potential to move beyond what my limitations are and what your limitations are.
And how you harness it, Aubrey, is the same. We talk about this constantly. You harness it by acknowledging you know nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know nothing. If you always, always engage life with, I know nothing. Show me more. You are always, always discovering more. And then what I try and tell people is there's a miracle about the way shower.
Mm-hmm.
The way shower is that the way shower goes up ahead and figures out something and says, I figured this out. And then looks over their shoulder and says, I figured out the way. And that's a miracle, right? But what I try to tell people is that even more of a miracle is that the people who are still in the shadows and they still have no resources, they still don't know what to do. There's someone up ahead thinking about them and they don't even know their name. That's the miracle.
That's true. That's
the miracle.
It is a miracle.
That if you're still in the shadows and you still don't know, there's someone up ahead trying to take a sledgehammer to the fucking wall to build a bridge that you can walk over, and they don't even know your name. That's a fucking miracle.
It is. And that's why you and I do what we do. That's why we started Be the Evidence.live. That's why we show up. That's why, I mean, I'm going through tons of karmic stuff, you know, like you're sick. Like we're both humans in this world. And like, if we're still attending to clearing the path and show me the way, because I don't know what's going on, but if I can figure it out, I'm thrilled and honored at the opportunity to share that with another person.
That is so interesting to me, that notion of, and you and I talk about it often, clear the path, show me the way. Clear the path, show me the way. That's my command to my guides always, okay? That's my thing. Isn't it fucking interesting that there are humans saying that about you?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it fucking interesting that there are humans saying that about you? It's not just about the gods.
Mm-mm.
It's not just about guides. It's not just about spirit. It's not just about something ethereal that you can't touch. Clear the path, show me the way is sometimes someone looking you directly in the fucking eye saying, clear the path, show me the way. And you go, all right.
Follow me.
Hang on.
Yep. This is what we
got. I've got a fever, but hang on.
Yep.
That shit fucking matters. It matters. These are the things that we put our lives on the line for. These are the things that we're willing to die for.
It's true. The bootstraps get laced up and you stand in that truth of, as you would say with astrology, heading towards the galactic center, heading towards the ultimate truth, heading towards the mission of humanity, of pulling us all up and through.
That the beliefs you hold will dictate the world you live in. Literally. Literally. Literally.